In today's Mishnah, we're in the second and third Mishnah from the 11th Perek Masechta Sanhedrin, and continue learning about the various prohibitions or violations that are punishable with chenek, with strangulation. And today we learn about the Zaken Mamre in more detail. So the Zaken Mamre deals with a chacham, so a rabbi who is a musmach, the traditional smicha, such that he can now paskin, he can now rule. And he has not listened, he's now ruling in contrast to the rulings of the Sanhedrin Hagadol, meaning the Beit Hagadol in Yerushalayim. So we'll see exactly how, in terms of what qualifies such individuals being Zaken Mamre. So the Mishnah says, Shneimar ki pale mimcha davar l'mishpat. So this is basically the first pasuk of the entire parasha that deals with the Zaken Mamre, which is in Parashat Choftim, Perikud Zayin, so from Pasuk Chet all the way to Yud Gimel. In the beginning of it says, when there's a matter that is unknown to you, the matter of Mishpat, you're meant to go to the Beit HaGadol, I mean you go all the way to the Yerushalayim, from that Hamakom, from that place, referring to in Yerushalayim itself, the Beis HaMikdash, and you're meant to follow the teachings. And it mentions near the end of that parashah, how if a man acts with willfulness, not listening to the Kohen, or listening to the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, then, just skipping a bit, it says, Amet Aishahu, this individual will die, will be executed, and Ubiata Hara Misrael, and this evilness should be removed from amongst Israel. So the Mishnah elaborates on this process of when there's a matter that's disputed. So the Mishnah says, Shlosha Bate Dinim Hayusham, in Yerushalayim there are three Bate Dinim. The first is Achad, one Beit Din was Yoshev al Petach HaBayit, near the entrance of the Temple Mount. Achad Yoshev al Petach HaZara, towards the entrance to the actual courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Achad Yoshev Belishchat HaGazit, in the Sanhedrin HaGadol, which is that Sanhedrin with 71 judges, was half within the Azara and the half outside. So that was referred to as Lishchat HaGazit. It says, Ba'im Lazesh al Petach. First, they come to the first Beit Din that is at the entrance of HaRabayit, Vo'omer. And the Zaken, who appears to be teaching a particular halacha, in other words, a practical halacha, that is in contrast to his chavirim, to his other colleagues, other rabbanim, he says, Kach darashti v'kach dashu chavirai, kach limadati v'kach limdu chavirai. He would say, he would present the difference of opinions. Im shamuif beitin themselves had heard, meaning they had a tradition from their rabbanim exactly what the halacha is, what the law is in that situation, then they'd tell him. V'imlav, if they didn't hear, or he himself didn't still maintain his position and disagreed with them, they'd say, Ba'in lahem lo tam, they would, if you like, accelerate this now and take it up to the next Beit Din. And that was Sha'al Petach Azara, before the entrance to the Azara, to the temple courtyard. V'omer kach darashti, again, he'd present the case. Kach darashti, this is the way I expounded it. V'kach darshu chavirai, this is the way my friends understood it. Kach limadi, this is the way I teach it, and this is the way they teach it. Kach limdu chavirai. Im shamu, once again, if they heard of Omrim lahem, v'im lav elu v'elu, once again, if they could convince him, or they had heard a tradition that it should be in contrast to the way he was saying, they would try and convince the Kohen in that position. If, however, we're still in a deadlock, they'd take it up to the Sanhedrin Hagadol. Eilu ve'elu ba'in le'beit din Hagadol b'lishchat Hagazit. The Lishchat Hagazit, which is the highest court in Israel. Shemenu atzeh Torah l'kol Yisrael. For that point, that has a final say when it comes to what the final halacha, final ruling is. Shneimar, as it says, min ha'makom ha'hu asher yivchar Hashem. Again, part of this parasha of Zaken Mamre that talks about how to reach a final decision that's going to impact all of Israel says it's from that place that Hashem chose, which is referring to the Beis HaMikdash, and particularly from the Sanhedrin Gadol that's located there. And it says, after v'shamata lasot kochol asheruch, and you've got to keep exactly what they instruct you to do. Mishnah then continues, chazar, if that Zaken goes back, le'iro, goes back to his city, v'shana v'limed kederch she'alamed, and he simply was teaching, not in a practical manner, but in a conceptual way, in a theoretical way, his position, he'd still be patur, would still be exempt, they couldn't be able to take him and try him and find him guilty to be executed. Despite the fact he's still maintaining conceptually his original position. However, im hora lasot, if he actually starts teaching people to follow this ruling in practice against what the Sanhedrin said, we say chayav. Then he can be taken to the Sanhedrin and executed, or at least tried and eventually receive this punishment of chenek. Shneimar, as it says, va'asher ya'aseh bezadon. As it says, towards the end of the parasha discusses this Zaken Mamre, the man shall act with willfulness. Not that he teaches, but he acts, meaning Einu chayav ad shiur lasot, until he's teaching other people to act according to this position, which is in contrast to what the Sanhedrin Gadol is saying. Ad shiur lasot. So Talmud shiur lasot, however, we're dealing with a Talmud, has not reached the status of which he's suitable to begin to paskening and teaching halacha, halacha lamaisa, halacha should be implemented in practice, such an individual, we'd say he's patur, he would not be executed. In other words, the parsha of Zakeh Manra only applies to a chacham that has reached the stage of hora'ah that he can paskan, he can rule. So we find nimtza chumro, we find the stringency of this Talmud who's now trying to paskan and instruct how to people to act prior to reaching the stage where he's fitting to instruct others to do so. Despite the fact that's brazen, that's quite extreme what he's doing, nonetheless, it's still kulo. It ends up being in leniency because he wouldn't be able to be defined as a Zakeh Manra. Mishnah continues, chomer bidivrei sofim midivrei Torah. We find that Divrei Sofrim, we'll explain what Divrei Sofrim is in a minute, is therefore more extreme than Divrei Torah. Now, Divrei Sofrim here means that sometimes we have certain mitzvahs that are in the Torah that are explicit, and sometimes, despite the fact it's a biblical mitzvah, it's only understand through exposition from the Chachamim. It's not that it's a rabbinic law, but it's thrown through exposition, as the Mishnah continues. So if someone says, Ha'omer tefillin kedei lavor le'divrei Torah, if you've got a Zaken who's teaching back in a city that one doesn't have to wear tefillin, and that's clearly in contrast to what the Sanhedrin says, everyone has to wear tefillin, we say that's Pator. He wouldn't be defined as a Zakeh Mamre, they couldn't execute him, they couldn't bring him to Beit Din and say, you're a Zakeh Mamre, we have to give you Chenek now. Why? Because this is a matter that's explicitly mentioned in the Torah. And people can just open up a Chumash and see this person, what he's saying is ridiculous. Aval ha'omer chamesh totafot. However, if he's teaching everyone that actually a tefillin doesn't have four chambers, it actually has five compartments, lo sif al divrei sofrim, to add on that which is the tradition of the understanding of how tefillin are meant to be, in that situation we say chayav, he would be defined as zaken mamre and he could be executed. What's interesting here is the example the Mishnah is with respect to tefillin, and it would only really apply to tefillin, meaning that it's only, if you like, mitzvah asay that you could define this chacham as being a zaken mamre. Otherwise, with respect to all other mitzvahs, the Zakeh Manra is only with respect to an individual who rules, as a result of his ruling and people following him, they could violate a prohibition that is punishable either with karet, if they did it, someone violated deliberately, or if they did it b'shogeg, if they did it inadvertently, that same prohibition, they would have to bring a korban. And once again, it would only be something that is biblical in nature, and requires, is it defined as divrei sofrim, that it requires a chachamim to expound it, to actually understand what the biblical intent is. Those are the Mishnah today. We'll learn a bit more about the Zakeh Mamre tomorrow.